prosperity, not just a few elites. And that's the test that I'm going to apply in whether or not it makes sense for us to move forward in a trade deal. I'm confident we can actually shape a trade deal that accomplishes those things.
Just on Ukraine, and I guess that the President of the European Commission will speak on the TTIP. On Ukraine, we coordinated our first series of sanctions, hitting individuals by travel bans and by asset freeze. And also on the political side, we suspended the preparatory work for the G8 meeting, and we are now organizing a G7 meeting, as mentioned already, that will take here place in Brussels. And then from the European side, we said in the statement of the European Council that if further steps were taken by Russia to destabilize the situation in Ukraine, we will take economic sanctions. And we tasked the Commission to prepare a broad range of sanctions in all kinds of areas. Of course, we have to coordinate among our member states. They are not all in the same position as far as trade, energy, financial services is concerned. So we have to coordinate among us, and we have, of course, to coordinate with the United States. But let me say also that sanctions are not a punishment. Sanctions are not a retaliation. Sanctions are a positive incentive to seek a diplomatic, a political solution, while respecting, of course, international law. So sanctions are in itself, they are not an aim in itself. But we are working also on stabilizing the situation in Ukraine, stabilizing politically, stabilizing economically, stabilizing financially, because that is the best answer. It's the best answer to strengthen Ukraine, to make it a strong currency instead of a weak currency. And that's why we signed the association agreement with Ukraine. That's why we will provide macro financial help to Ukraine if they agree, of course, on reforms with the International Monetary Fund. That's why also unilaterally we are removing, or we will remove, customs duties. So there's a broad range of initiatives we are taking to stabilize the country Ukraine, besides the actions that we can take as far as sanctions are concerned.
Still on this issue, I believe that all this talk about who is doing more on sanctions, the United States or Europe, is really sterile and useless. First of all, because we are united, as we have shown, taking very important decisions like the cancellation of our European summit, or now the cancellation of the organization of a G7 meeting here. In fact, the European economy is much more linked to Russia and Russia to the European Union and the United States, and that, in fact, Russians are much more looking to Europe, also because they are traveling more here and so on. That's precisely why one measure in Europe that may appear not so ambitious as an American one has at least the same effect. Because our trade with Russia is comparable with what the United States have with Japan, for instance. So we are preparing the necessary measures in a determined way, of course, consulting with our American partners and friends. What is important, as I just said, is that we make sure that unacceptable actions will bear very serious consequences. And so far, this has been a message that has been passed clearly to the Russian leadership. And once again, the problem is not a competition between the United States and Europe about sanctions. The problem is one that exists between Russia and the international community. That in the 21st century, it's just not acceptable that one big power takes part of another sovereign country recognized as independent by the United Nations. This is the real problem, not how far are going the Americans or the European Unions in their respective instruments in terms of measures. On TTIP, I think President Obama already said it. Everything. Just one point I want to reassure you. We Commission, the European Commission, are negotiating on behalf of all the 28 member states. We received a clear mandate. We are going to respect it fully. And, of course, our mandate does not allow for any kind of, let's say, weakening of our standards. Americans have some very high standards as well. It's true that sometimes in regulatory matters we don't have exactly the same position. That's why when it's not possible to have regulatory convergence, I think we should try to accept some mechanisms of mutual recognition. Because it's true that today the trade between Europe and the United States is already very much liberalized. Tariffs are relatively low compared with other parts of the world. We are trying to get it even lower, both Americans and Europeans, and I'm sure we are going to get it. But it is also important to give a new impulse for growth to eliminate some non-tariff barriers. And some of these non-tariff barriers are in the regulatory field. So I'm sure we can do it right. I have nothing to add to what President Obama said, but in fact, let's work for what can be a very transformative instrument, not only for the benefit, of course, of the European citizens and American people, but also, hopefully, for a more open global trade system.
Thank you. Yes, sir. Thank you. Yes, sir.
Thank you. Jeff Mason from Reuters. Mr. President, you're going to NATO later this afternoon. What more does NATO need to do to reassure Russia's worried neighbors? And do you think the crisis right now in that region will make it more or less likely that NATO will expand to include Ukraine and Georgia? And for Presidents Van Rompuy and President Barroso, on energy, what more do you expect the United States to do to help the European Union reduce its dependence on Russian oil? And are you concerned that obstacles in Congress will prevent you from achieving your goals on trade? And as we saw with the vote on the IMF yesterday, also on Ukraine. Thank you.
Well, I'm looking forward to having my meeting with Secretary General Rasmussen, whose term is expiring, and I have to say has provided outstanding leadership to NATO on a whole range of issues. So let me take an opportunity now, without him being here, to compliment him on doing just an outstanding job. As I said yesterday at a press conference in The Hague, our commitment to NATO is the cornerstone, the most important element of U.S. national security, as well as European security. And so at the core of NATO is our Article 5 commitments to collective defense. When I first came into office, one of the things that I said to all the NATO members sitting around the table was that there's no junior NATO members versus senior NATO members. Obviously, there are big countries and there are small countries in NATO, but when it comes to the commitment to collective defense, everybody is in the same footing. It does mean that we have to make sure that we have put together very real contingency plans for every one of these members, including those who came in out of Central and Eastern Europe. And over the last several years, we have worked up a number of these contingency plans. When we meet, when the ministers meet in April, one of the things that I have suggested to the heads of state and government who are NATO members is that we examine those plans to make sure that they're updated, that we do more to ensure that a regular NATO presence among some of these states that may feel vulnerable is executed. I think there are ways that we can do that that can be accommodated by our existing assets. But one of the things that I've also said in the past and will repeat again, and I think Secretary General Rasmussen agrees with me here, is that if we've got collective defense, it means that everybody's got to chip in. And I have had some concerns about a diminished level of defense spending among some of our partners in NATO, not all, but many. The trend lines have been going down. That's understandable when you have an economic crisis and financial crisis, and many countries are going through fiscal consolidation. But the situation in Ukraine reminds us that our freedom isn't free, and we've got to be willing to pay for the assets, the personnel, the training that's required to make sure that we have a credible NATO force and an effective deterrent force. One of the things that I think medium and long term we'll have to examine is whether everybody is chipping in.
Live pictures there from Brussels. U.S. President Barack Obama speaking alongside European Council President Herman Van Rompuy and José Manuel Barroso, the European Commission President. Of course, as President Barack Obama said there, the focus of his talks with European authorities has been Ukraine. He did, of course, start that press briefing by saying that Europe is the US's closest partner. He said the world is more safe and more just when Europe and the US stand as one. He also said that during the talks, they'd been discussing efforts to boost relations, work toward a trade agreement. Also, they'd been discussing, he said, talks with Iran over the country's nuclear program, ways, he said, to peacefully resolve that dispute, and issues relating to Syria's chemical weapons and humanitarian efforts as well. But as I mentioned there, most of the focus of today's briefing also was on Ukraine. He said Russia has violated international law and the sovereignty and territorial integrity of Ukraine. He said that the US and Europe are united in their support for Ukraine, that they would isolate Russia and impose a cost on Russia for the actions that it's taken. A reference there, of course, to the reunification of Crimea with Russia. He said that the sanctions that have been imposed on Russia include visa bans, the freezing of assets and cancelling engagements, and the consequences for the Russian economy, he said, will continue to grow. He also said that Russia, quote, stands alone. He said that the United Nations Security Council has been against Russia's decision concerning Crimea, that the NATO and G7 are also united against Russia, and that the G7 will meet in June without Russia. He said that Russia should know it cannot, quote, drive a wedge between the US and Europe. He also mentioned that there is still a way for Russia to work with Ukraine and the world in order to de-escalate tensions in the region through diplomacy. The isolation, however, he said, will deepen and sanctions will increase if Russia continues on its current path. He said that there's excellent coordination between the US and the EU on sanctions on Russia. He said that the sides have identified individuals responsible for, in his words, annexing Crimea following a referendum that nobody outside Russia could take seriously. He said that we are coordinating again for additional and deeper sanctions should Russia engage in further incursions into Ukraine. The Ukraine issue, he said, has also prompted both the US and the EU to diversify its energy sources. He also said that later on he's going to meet NATO chief Anders Fogh Rasmussen, and he was in the NATO's remarks there referring to America's commitment to the ideals of NATO, and similar comments being made by Herman Van Rompuy and José Manuel Barroso, the European Council and European Commission presidents, concerning, of course, the issue of Ukraine. Herman Van Rompuy, he said that sanctions should not be seen as a punishment or retaliation, but a positive incentive to seek a diplomatic solution while respecting international law. Again, the latest remarks being made there by the European and US officials. We'll, of course, be giving you more details in our later news bulletins. But